Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
James Harden was just brutal last night. It's the only way to put it. I don't sugarcoat it. And I'm not going to sit here and say, ASU guy, I can't say anything negative. I mean, he wasn't good. 13 turnovers don't lie. The Diamondbacks lose like they were the 2014 Diamondbacks last night. That was the way the game ended was like, I've seen this movie a year ago. It wasn't good. No way to sugarcoat it. You don't lose on a throwing error by the catcher. There's some fun stuff around Steph Curry I want to get into with today's show. Brock Huard's going to be with us in about 15 minutes, ESPN college football analyst. We are now 98 days until the start of college football. Spring football wrapping up. Nick Saban made some outlandish, outrageous comments earlier this week about how the SEC could become a farm system behind other Big Five programs, which I do not get. And we're going to finish up our tour of the athletic directors around the state of Arizona. We have already heard from U of A and with Greg Byrne and Ray Anderson at ASU. We've heard up at NAU and we've heard over at GCU, at least from Jerry Colangelo yesterday and Dan Marley. But we have not heard from Mike Vaught, the GCU vice president of athletics. So we'll have Mike Vaught with us today on Andy Stankiewicz's new extension and buildings and all that stuff, how he's been in year number one. A lot on my mind in the world of sports. Let's get started right here, right now. Brought to you by Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Here we are on a Thursday. You know, the Timbers Lounge has great entertainment. You could be up there by tonight or this weekend. You have that cabin, or maybe you need a place to stay. The Honda Resort and Casino is that place to head up to. Have a great weekend. Relax, decompress, get away from all the hustle and bustle wherever around the state, around the country that you take in sports360az.com. Northeastern part of Arizona, that's the Honda Resort and Casino. Eat some great food, pull down on the slots, and again, enjoy the entertainment. Powwow in the Pines is next week. The Honda Resort and Casino, go to honda.com for more information. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Did you know that LeBron James, Eric, LeBron James and Steph Curry were born in the same hospital? That to me is stunning. They were born in the same Akron hospital. So now we have this storyline of these two superstars playing against one another in the finals, and we have to wait a week. We have 7 days. It's a good thing it's these teams. Could you imagine if it was Atlanta against Houston? The country wouldn't care. They wouldn't come back to it. We're going to have 7 days to break this down. So I'm not going to sit here every day and go through the look out for this and look out for that. I mean,
the face of the NBA against the future face of the NBA.
I don't know if he's future, though. He's already there. It's the two top faces in the NBA.
The face of the NBA against the future face of the NBA.
I think Steph Curry's already there. What you're saying is when LeBron retires.
Uh-huh.
But
Who's the best player in the NBA right now? It's LeBron James.
Oh, sure. He's got his team's not that
good. No.
Okay. I mean, they've played. I shouldn't say it like that. The talent he has around him, it's not like he has a big two or a big three around him. A
lot less talent than he had in Miami.
No question. No question. Watching last night, Golden State take apart Houston. There were a whole lot of things going through my mind on that. Most notably, it was Mark Jackson is sitting there watching his team that he had, and how would you be able to handle that? The player of the game, and I made fun of Harrison Barnes trying to play defense down the low post. Everybody's going to talk about Steph Curry. Harrison Barnes was the guy last night, and Harrison Barnes has kind of been the X factor. Steve Kerr playing similar basketball to what we saw here in the Suns back in the D'Antoni era. Let's go small. And let's make teams adjust to us.
Ariza right side three. Way too strong. Curry the rebound. Curry throws ahead to Barnes. Breakaway slam. Harrison Barnes. The Warriors go back up by 12. 95-83.
And it wasn't just the Harrison Barnes dunk. That's the easy stuff. He'd step out, hit the 20-footer. It's a tough matchup. So now we have Golden State and Cleveland, and I am interested in this. I do think that this will be a terrific series, and we have a week to get around to it. What are we to make about James Harden? James Harden is somebody that we like a great deal, that we've talked about a great deal. Just because I like somebody a lot doesn't mean I can't sit here and point out, I'm not saying the obvious here, I just didn't think his series was all that of an MVP caliber player. There will be people that will go much harsher on him than that. 13 turnovers in a decisive game doesn't happen to MVP players. Doesn't happen. If you look at the end of, I believe it was game number two, where he was it game two or three, where he was on the break in the closing seconds and he passed the ball to Dwight Howard, gets it back, legs come out from under him, Curry makes great defense, series over, the game ends there. You can make the argument the series really turned on that one play. Then there's the James Harden from downtown who was just crazy, crazy, over 40 points. I mean, I saw different sides of him. But at the end of the day, you look at his body of work, it was a terrific season, but MVP players don't have 13 turnovers in decisive games. They just don't. And you can't argue that. Part of the fun of all this is Steph Curry and his daughter. His daughter has become like, is it over the top as much as we've seen the daughter? Eric, are you a little done with the daughter of Steph Curry at this point?
No, she's amusing. And she's entertaining, and she's making these otherwise mostly drab press conferences somewhat fun.
Sure, and it's not splitting atoms in these post-game press conferences, but, you know, there she is. What's her name again? Do you remember?
Riley. Riley Curry.
Yeah, there's Riley. Riley's doing her thing. Riley likes to jump around and be behind the curtain as here's the MVP, and these writers are upset that it's distracting from them. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool that she's doing her thing and they're still able to get there. I don't know. Ask something that's atom splitting rather than how does it feel to win? Does it feel great to win the series? No, it doesn't feel great. It's horrible.
And if you're an accredited journalist and you're covering the NBA finals and you can't keep your attention because of what a little girl is doing over in the corner, you may want to work on your attention span.
Yeah. Well,
there's concentration.
There's some people that are in that space, though, where they get so fixated that they don't want any distractions. There are some of those people.
Yeah, it's more the old school types.
That's true.
Not the new school types.
Very true. Very true. Not the millennials. Now, because we like to have fun on this show, it's not splitting atoms every day. I found this in San Francisco, in the San Francisco Chronicle today. This is a video. This is what they're doing around Steph Curry. Remember, the Warriors have not been to the finals in 40 years. Check this out.
When I find myself in times of worry, Steph Curry, he comes for me. He will be the answer, Steph Curry. When the brokenhearted throughout the league, they all agree he will be the answer, Steph Curry. Sing a three, sing a three, sing a three, sing a three. He will be the answer, Steph.
Now, I don't mean this in any disrespect off the Warriors, but I want to look deep into the camera and say, Robert, this is what it could be like if you get your team's act together. The Warriors have gone 40 years. They figured it out. You need to do the same. It's fun to play music videos for a team that hasn't done anything. It's been 5 years. We've given you 5 years to get this figured out. Please get it figured out sooner than later. Because if Golden State can win, Phoenix can win. Now let's get over to the Diamondbacks. So I don't want to pound on them, but last night's game felt like I was watching 2014 Diamondback or 2013 or 2012 Diamondback baseball. They have, I made this big, bad, bold prediction that they were going to win 84 games this year. And people ridiculed me on this, and they're going to continue to do so because I'm going to need some help now because my Diamondbacks, or actually today, the way they played, they're your Diamondbacks today, found a way again to give away another game last night. This was the final moments. Mike Shannon on the call here with the Cardinal Radio Network.
Swinging a ground ball to third. They throw home out there. Back to first. Oh, wild throw, and the Cardinals win it. Holy mackerel. In the score is the winning run. The Cardinals score two in the ninth, and they beat the Diamondbacks 4-3 on a throwing error by the catcher.
Yeah. So, your Diamondbacks, if we go through the series against St. Louis, they throw one away last night. They lose an extra innings on a walk-off on Monday.
And by the way, Mike Shannon had no idea what was going on in that call.
He's great. It's Mike Shannon.
Catcher throws it away. Some guy scores. Cardinals win. Perfect.
If you're a Cardinal fan,
who
you
needs
don't
the
care.
Specifics? We don't need who was catching or who scored the
what
winning run.
What did Mike Shannon do to you?
If you're listening to the radio and you just turned in, let's
Cardinals
see.
Cardinals win.
It,
that's all that matters.
Was it Matt Carpenter who scored? Was
who
it
cares?
Matt Holliday? Yeah, you're probably
oh,
right.
Oh, my gosh. You're being.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I
no,
actually did mean to interrupt you.
Just. Here's Chip Hale after the game. Brad Ziegler was on the mound when this happened, and the manager was pretty straightforward. You cannot point the finger at him.
These guys aren't machines. They're human beings, and they make mistakes, and he's been pretty good for us and pitched very well, and we trust him. So that's just the way it goes. When, you know, the matchup was good, we had the ground ball there to get out of it and keep playing, and Tomas made a nice feed to the plate. Just that's the way baseball is.
What's interesting there is he brought up Tomas. What's going to happen at third base? That's been my interest here over the last week, as you can see it happening. All right. On the other side, we will have Brock Huard with us. We're going to talk some college football. That's what we do. We're 98 days away from the start of the college football season. We're Arizona-centric as well. Things that we see around the state of Arizona on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Days away from the start of the college football season. And now that we're under 100, I told Eric, I said, every week, let's just talk some college football for a segment because we can get into all the other stuff that's going on. Then he tells me that Brock is coming on board with us and that Brock had on Russell Wilson's agent this morning. And, of course, Cardinal fans down here are always apoplectic about what goes on up in Seattle. So ESPN college football analyst Brock Huard is with us. I want to talk to him, too, about Chambers Bay because the PGA Championship is there in a couple of weeks. So there's a lot to get to. How are you?
Brad, I'm good, man. I'm good. I was kind of picking on you last time I came on. You want me to not do that anymore? Be a little nicer?
Oh, shut up. It's your show. You know, what? It's your segment. I mean, you're an invited guest into the house. If you want to make fun of the pot roast, it's fine.
It's your show, man. I am just I'm an entree or an appetizer.
No, I don't know about appetizer. Yeah. All right,
you want, man.
Okay, let's go through the Russell Wilson because Eric says to me, Brock's pretty fired up about this. You had a good interview with Russell Wilson's agent this morning. The last time I had you on, you did talk about his situation up there. What's news coming from the agent today?
Well, first of all, they've not really put anything out, so it's kind of nice to hear on the record whether it was posturing or not. It was nice to kind of hear their side, and I'll tell you, he's a baseball agent. That is what his background is. You remember about a year ago that Russell moved on from Buzz Cook. He was his football agent initially, Brett Favre's agent, and a lot of other guys. And he moved on. And this fellow, Mark Rogers, has been much more of a father figure to Russell through the years, initially when Russell was drafted. And so there's quite a relationship there. And I'll tell you, the thing that just jumps out and resonates and what has really been a similar message over the last 4 months is, hey, don't just think that Russell is into this conventional wisdom of getting paid now, like Kaepernick or Dalton or Tannehill, that maybe he's going to actually play this thing out. that maybe he will play this year at 1.5 and really challenge them with the franchise tag next year and even bigger dollars. And while my gut, Brad, says that's crazy, he has so much to lose. There's tens of millions of guaranteed dollars sitting on the table right now for him. The more you listen to Mark, the more you're around Russell, you realize that they don't march to the same beat as a lot of conventional football players. That baseball background does play at least somewhat of a role. And his willingness to do and go outside the norm, to leave NC State and go to Wisconsin, to leave baseball and take his shot at the NFL, this is a hard-headed, steadfast, believe in himself, bet on himself kind of guy. And we just may see that play out here over the next few months.
You mean he'd pick up a bat and a ball and a glove?
Nope. Meaning instead of signing to and agreeing to the deal that's on the table right now, say, nope, I'll play this year at 1.5, and then next year I become an unrestricted free agent. And sure, you have the franchise tag, but now we're talking, you know, top five money, $25 million a year, $23 million a year. You haven't franchised anybody on this roster for 4 years. You know it's not a good deal for the team, so you know, kind of call their bluff and say, I'm willing and ready to play this year, as crazy as it sounds, at 1.5 to give myself even more wiggle room 9 months from now.
But you brought it up off the top. Maybe this is posturing. You have a highly rated show in Seattle in the mornings, and the agent is using you to get the message out there over to the organization. We know that that happens.
Yep.
Do you take any more than that, that it's just posturing?
I don't, but I, you know, he's made it abundantly clear, and I've gotten to know some of the parties off the field on both sides of this table here. And as I said, if Russell were your standard fare player, right? If he were your kind of conventional player and he were like a lot of the guys I was around, I would say, oh yeah, man, this is just straight posture. And he's going to take his money. Like every NFL vet tells young players that when the money is there, you better take it. There's no guarantees in this league years from now. This game is violent, and you don't want to leave tens of millions of guaranteed money on the table. But, you know, Russell has always marched to a different beat, different from the rest, taken more risks at his age than others often have taken. So, you know, I guess it just kind of strengthened maybe my opinion in Russell that he is willing to, as I said, he's willing to go a direction that others that are in his position would not be willing to do. The Kaepernick wasn't, the Tannehill wasn't, that Joe Flacco was to a degree, and he's maybe more prone to go down that road.
So keep an eye on this, is what you're saying today. That there's
I would keep, yeah, right. You know what, yeah, Brad? I'd keep an eye on it. Yeah, I'd definitely do that.
And I mean, it's more than just the usual story that we hear in negotiations. All right, let me switch over to the college football thing. You did Tennessee's spring game. You're very familiar with the SEC. I'm sure you saw Nick Saban's comments using the term farm system for the SEC. What did you make out of that?
It's the AFC, it's the NFC, and it's the SEC. I've heard that before, man. I've heard that in my coaches' meetings with
That's good.
That's how they view it. Actually, the coach that said that this year was on a staff, and he was a first-year coordinator on a staff, and he had never been in the SEC. And we were just chatting about it and his experience, and he'd been in a few other conferences, and that's what he rattled off. I wrote that on my little game notes. There's the ASC, there's the NFC, and then there's the SEC, especially when it comes to defensive players and the defensive production. I think the numbers bear that out over the years pretty well, and I think Saban probably pointing to more fact in that way and the analytics behind it than anything else. And, oh, by the way, everything that Nick does, he sells. Every message that he's going to put out there publicly and invite the ESPN cameras in the building and to, you know, be on the set of the championship game, he knows that it's 24/7, 365, especially in that conference, you better be selling yourself.
Is he the best coach, or would you give it to Urban in college football? Or someone else?
Ooh,
is it between those two?
I think that's a pretty good debate. Yeah, I think it's probably, I don't even know who would enter in as a third into that debate, possibly.
Mm-hmm. And what would separate one from the other, in your opinion? Because you're around these guys, Brock.
Yeah, and both of them are really similar behind the scenes, man. They're hard drivers on their staff. You do see some turnover, right, on both of their coaching staffs because they're incredibly demanding. And sometimes you see turnover with elevation in jobs, which is ultimately very beneficial to them over the long term. So No, I think that they're probably right at the top of their game. And, you know, Tim Tebow would tell you and was raving about this. I remember talking to you about this before the championship game, and I think even before Ohio State played Alabama. From Tim's perspective, he said nobody gets a team ready to play emotionally better than Urban Meyer does. In all of his years at Florida and what he's been around and the different coaches, professionally, collegially, that there's just nobody that really has the pulse quite the way that Urban does. And when you look at his success on big stages, pretty hard to argue against that. I think that's 1 and 2 in college football. And since the college game's not any different than the NFL game, what do you do in your last one? What have you done for me lately? And I guess we'll give Urban the nod in that way.
ESPN college football analyst Brock Huard with us for a couple of minutes. Fifth-year transfer quarterbacks, big debate. We see Vernon Adams go to Oregon. We see Golson go down to Florida State. Braxton Miller may end up somewhere else. Where do you come down on the fifth-year transfer? Just yesterday, Oregon picks up a center from Notre Dame as a fifth-year transfer. Is this a problem?
Hey, man, if they put the work in and they graduate, and I get scoffed at so much by the cynics out there that say, oh, right, student-athletes, yeah, right, come on, they're taking basket weaving, they don't care. When the reality is you get around these programs and there's a lot of kids, the majority of them, it is important. Because they're realizing they're not playing at the next level, and I better take advantage of this and get my degree. So, to me, it kind of gives me a little bit more of a platform to say it does matter, and you can graduate, and if you do graduate, good. It gives you an opportunity at the very end of your career, and you saw Russell Wilson take enormous advantage of it and go to a system that, that you know, it was different than the previous one he was in. I think forever goes in the same way. Okay, you want to play in the league? You want the best possible a judgment of that or observation of that or readiness for it, go play in an NFL system. Go play at Florida State. You can play for Jimbo and you can play in that system. It's proven you're going to get drafted. And I think forever good. He got his degree. He put his work in. And now, you know, student-athletes don't get a lot of wiggle room, man. They don't have a ton of incentive once they sign that dotted line to give them a little bit of freedom. I don't mind it.
Flip side of it, how is it that Oregon and Florida State can't find replacements for their guys within their recruiting classes? Do you buy into that? Because I've heard that argument.
Well, is it fine replacements, or is it with 85 scholarships, it's leveled the playing field for everybody? This isn't Oklahoma and Texas back in the day. In the 80s, it could have 150 scholarships. That, you know, at 85 and with injuries and with academic struggles and guys falling out of academic grace, that at 85, not many schools, when I travel around, are even at 85 or coaching changes, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden there's transfers. So most of these schools are a whole lot closer to 80 scholarship players than they are 85. And to me, it's much more of a numbers game of just trying to, even if you are Alabama, even if you are Oregon, even if you are in the top 25 recruiting, you can never have enough depth. Not through, you know, the length of these seasons. You know, when I played, we played 11 games. That's not the case anymore. Now you're going to have, you know, the bowl games, the extra games, the preseason game, the extra, you know, semifinal game. You can play 13, 14 games. So, you know, I think just giving yourself more depth, more chances, more, you know, kind of bites at the apple volume-wise in recruiting is a benefit. And even the biggest and the brightest and the best need that benefit of the doubt.
Talking with Brock Huard, the college football playoff title game will be here next January. Your early feel as to the four that you're looking at?
Oh, Ohio State. I mean, I think Ohio State's got a better quarterback room than the Browns do. Would you pretty?
That's a good call. There's some jokes that I'm not going to use because they're inappropriate. But yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, they're pretty close. So I mean, they're the absolute, I think, going to be runaway front runner this season and going into it, and with so much of their talent back and so many of the different places. And it's obviously early. The Alabamas, I'll tell you, the Auburn, the more people that I'm around this off season, most people left Auburn and said, whoa, Gus has got some boys to work with on offense, and now Muschamp on defense, and they're going to be something to be reckoned with. I think at Georgia, if they can find any stability at quarterback, it's probably the team on the other side of the SEC. And, you know, I think it's fairly wide open. You know, I'll be curious if when I get down and I chat with Sarkisian the next time I see him, if he feels good enough about his depth. Back to our conversation of 85 scholarships and you know, your margin for error and sanctions and everything. You know, they've been trying to replenish as best they can. So to me, it's Ohio State and kind of a bunch of probably teams in the next 10 that are going to be really pushing and chasing.
Brock Huard with us. Before I let you go, so up in your neck of the woods, Chambers Bay in Tacoma is the PGA. We have a ton of golfers here in our state. What do you make out of this course? Have you ever played this course before?
Yeah, you know what? I got to be in a little media event a couple weeks ago, so I got to see it with the grandstands up, and they had a bunch of areas kind of netted off where, you know, balls landing areas where the pros are going to be hitting them more times than not, the more times than a lot of the media hacks were, that's for sure. Brett, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be completely polarizing. You're not going to have any player leave that course and say, yeah, it was okay. Yeah, standard fare. Yeah, been there, done that, seen it. Played courses like this all over the country. It is going to be so polarized. And I think, what was it? Who was the golfer a month ago or 2 months ago that tweeted out, you know, that the course is, you know, in horrible shape and blah, blah, blah. I'm blanking on it, too.
I remember the story.
One of the guys sent out a note, and then he got just killed for it. And he said, no, this wasn't me saying this. I haven't even played it. This is just some of my colleagues that went up there and didn't like it at all. It will be, you're probably going to find more pros, and they're a little sensitive poo anyway. You're going to find more of those guys that didn't like it. You know, the greens, the hills, the workout, the topography, the, you know, not rewarding great shots, you know, par fours, bunch of them over 500 yards. I think you're going to hear a lot of those guys really unhappy with it. But visually, from a fan perspective, man, it is going to be lights out and so much different. So much different than any U.S. Open I think you've seen before.
Well, and Spieth's caddy used to work at Chambers Bay, from my understanding, Michael Greller.
Yep.
So he has, I think that Spieth has an advantage, and that's intriguing to me. And also the fact that it's on the West Coast, meaning the TV audience on East Coast is going to be gigantic. The numbers that they're going to get and the interest nationally, I'm already starting to have people down here talk to me about it in the golf world. That the anticipation for this is unlike the last few years, and especially with Spieth playing the way that he did at the Masters.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard, man. And if they get any weather, and you know the greens were not. I know they can dry them out in a couple weeks, you know, or the month they have left, and in the fairways they can try to make a little bit faster. But man, we got something called the marine layer up here. It killed a lot of home runs before Nelson Cruz arrived, and the golf ball just does not travel like when I was in the desert. You know, I was hitting my drives 280, 290. I come home and they go about 240, 250. So. And if this course plays as long as it has the capability to, and you've got wind and you've got marine layer, they're going to be the big hitters, I would think, would have an enormous advantage with the challenge that this course is going to present.
See, this segment was painless today. It's May. I'm fine. I'm not grumpy. So, you know, you gave me good stuff on Russell Wilson, and it's great. I'm glad that you take the time to do this.
Yeah, I was soft. No,
there's nothing to get too fired up about today.
It's 98 days.
So let me ask you this before you go. It's 98 days to the start of college football. Do you know your opening game assignment yet?
I don't.
Are you going to be in the SEC? What are you moving up?
You know what, man? This is crazy. This is as much, you know, turnover as I think you've seen in my world of 8 or 9 years at ESPN. Yep. There's going to be some new formats, new people, new places. Wow. So there's a lot. I really, I don't have any answers. I'm not even playing. I'm not even posturing. You know, I wouldn't do that to you anyway.
No, you sound nervous. Are you going to be okay?
No, I thought you signed
a 10-year deal.
No, I'm good. I think I'm going to be out west maybe a little bit more than I've been in the past. So it'll be good.
Well, all good.
No complaint.
All right. We'll see you down the road. Appreciate the time as always.
All right, Bradley. See you,
buddy. Good. 98 days till the start of college football. Brock here just talking, rapping about it. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We do a lot on the college space, and we really like it, of course. We're very passionate about it. In fact, in about 10 minutes, we will have Mike Vaught with us, GCU Athletic Director. They made some big news yesterday, and we'll also put a bow on his first year there. He actually came in midstream. We'll talk to Mike Vaught. That's next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
So what would it look like? With the Bulls firing Tom Thibodeau today, what would it look like? And one of the names that we've talked about around the Bulls job is Fred Hoiberg. His name has been brought up at Iowa State. If he leaves Iowa State and the Iowa State job is left open, would Jeff Hornacek be pursued by Iowa State? Very fair question to wonder. Given Jeff's run here the last 2 years, it has been bumpy. Not by his own doing. I think he's been dealt a roster that's been very difficult for him to work with. I don't know if there's been 100% buy-in by some of the guys that have come and gone or even some of the guys that are here. And the way it works in coaching, if you don't get it done, eventually they circle you out and cycle you out. And I've had some people ask me about Thibodeau here. I like Jeff. I have no problem with Jeff. I think Jeff's been hamstrung a bit by the roster that he's been dealt. So plain and simple. The results don't lie. And I like him, but it's one of those businesses that Robert needs to get a winner put together here. And you have to look at the front office. In my opinion, it's not Jeff. It's the front office. It's not even Ryan. It's above that. So interesting to see what happens. But Thibodeau has been fired with the Bulls. And they had a great season, but it was not good enough in Chicago. And I don't know if that roster is ever going to be good enough. Are they at the point now where they've got to blow Noah out of there and go do some different things? I saw where Bill Laimbeer weighed in. We've not heard Bill Laimbeer's name in a long time. Bill Laimbeer said that LeBron James can do more than Michael Jordan. Now think about that for a minute. LeBron James can do more than Michael Jordan. I actually think he's right. We talked yesterday with Eddie Johnson about who would he want to have as his teammate. Michael Jordan was not nearly the passer that LeBron James is. Michael Jordan wanted to get his. It's not a swipe. It's just a fact. Kobe Bryant is terrific, but Kobe Bryant wants to get his. LeBron James has been very unselfish, but people like to crush LeBron James. Just crush him. I don't know. LeBron can, quote, do more than Michael Jordan. Well, what does that mean? You know, contextually, what does that mean? I think if you just look at their two games, they both can take over a game like nobody else. LeBron physically is more imposing than MJ was. Eric, would we agree on that one? That if we're
no doubt. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, LeBron looks like
he's like a freight train.
Different era, bigger guy, right? Trained differently and all that. But he seems more willing to get other people involved. That's just the way that he has played the game. Is it a different game now where they allow much more contact than what they used to? Sure. Is there a reason why LeBron James never fouls out, never gets in foul trouble, it seems? I mean, when was the last time LeBron James fouled out of a game? When was the last time he gets into foul trouble? And of course, in this present-day NBA, nobody ever fouls. Every time a call is made, there has to be the look of, oh my gosh, you have to be kidding me. It's kind of like in soccer where they get put to the ground and it looks like an arrow was shot through their kneecap and then they immediately get back up and pull the arrow out and they're superhuman again. In the NBA, there's never been a foul called. And there's a lot of acting that goes on with it. That's the game that is played today. Me, if I'm taking one of those two to start my team, I would take LeBron James for where he is today. There's no question about it. Chicago and Anaheim. So we don't talk much hockey here every day because the Coyotes aren't in the postseason last time I checked. In fact, they weren't even close to being in the postseason. They did not win the lottery setup. So they're on the sidelines looking in. The NHL playoffs, if you've not been watching them, last night I took in some of Chicago and Anaheim, and Chicago rolls to the victory. So we have a Game 7 matchup with Chicago and Anaheim. I think in the best interest of the league, that Chicago should go and win game number 7. I really believe that. I think the Rangers should beat Tampa Bay in game number 7 this week. We have two game 7s in the NHL. How great is that? And if you've not watched the playoffs, the NBA has decided to take a week off. They are disappearing. We don't start the finals until a week from today. No Golden State Cleveland for a week. So I'm not going to sit here and break down Cleveland and Golden State today. I mean, we've got time to do that. But on the other hand, if you have two of the original six, Chicago and the Rangers playing one another, that's a terrific series. If it's Anaheim playing Tampa Bay, it's okay. It's okay because you have the Los Angeles market, but it's not great. Chicago plays the Rangers. That's going to be really, really good stuff for the NHL. And we always talk about you get into a game number 7 in hockey, how good is your goaltender and all that. Lundqvist has been terrific. So I would think that they would move on over on the Rangers side. So that caught my eye today. Then there's Adrian Peterson. We talked yesterday or earlier in the week about the OTAs and how he's not there. So Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, was asked about the Adrian Peterson situation. Listen closely to what he had to say. What are Adrian Peterson's options? This is the head coach of the Vikings.
he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Okay, and again, the posturing and the negotiating on this, it's just the way it's going to be. One moment we hear that he wants a new contract. The next minute, the agent says we want to be elsewhere. And then we have the head coach of the Vikings say he's either here or he's not here. Is this Adrian Peterson basically walking up to the fire hydrant and lifting his leg and saying, this is what I think. I want to make sure that I have my territory marked so that you guys, when you try to tell me what to do, that's not necessarily what I'm going to do. Does the NFL need to have Adrian Peterson on the football field to have success? They don't. You know, Barry Sanders left. The league seemed to move on and thrive. Emmett Smith retired at some point. The league seemed to move on and thrive. Players come and players go. When Tom Brady and Peyton Manning leave, there'll be plenty written about, can the league survive the loss of Manning and Brady? Yes, it can. It can. It's going to be just fine. That's not what's going to kill off the league or hurt the league. There's other things that can do that. They're too arrogant to think that, but there are other things that can really damage the NFL, the concussion thing being the front of it. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. This morning, my son started a summer vacation, and he's decided to do the early morning swim for his swim team. So there I am, swim dad, at 7 a.m. this morning. Got to drop him off. I've got to go from there up to here and make my long commute, which is fine. I do it in the Ford Fusion Hybrid. Ford Fusion Hybrid, I've told you, over 50 miles to the gallon. I drive it right, like 54.6 this morning. Go the speed limit, speed up when I need to, not in a hurry. And when I see the guys that are stopping at the gas station often, or they're talking about their gas bill to me, how expensive gas is, I'm just kind of shrug my shoulders. Say, have you ever thought about a hybrid? Are you one of those guys that is on the road a lot, or do you make the long commute or the long drive, or you're like me, you go lots of places with your family or your business? Think about a hybrid for you. It will change the way that you do your business and the way that you drive. It's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, the Ford Fusion Hybrid. Or maybe you're looking to trade in a vehicle, as we did, to get ourselves into a certified pre-owned Explorer for my wife. We traded in her Expedition, went into the Explorer. Made a lot of sense for us financially. Made a lot of sense for her and her driving as she goes through her busy day. At Santan Ford, where General Manager Tim Hovick and company do it right. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, we switch gears. Mike Vaught, GCU Vice President of Athletics. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports 360 AZ. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Just over 3.5 years now, walked away from traditional television, traditional media, digital, that's where it's at. And we appreciate the partnership with AZ Central. We're working on some other partnerships, too, that will continue to broaden our reach out. And we work through the athletic directors across the state, as we do every year. We wrap things up year three. We always have the ADs on. We talked to Dr. Lisa Campos last week at NAU, Ray Anderson at ASU, Greg Byrne at U of A a couple of weeks ago. And now we've been able to catch up with Mike Vaught, Grand Canyon University. Of course, we have a partnership with Sports 360 AZ and GCU this past season with Talk to the Lopes every week. And finally able to catch up with Mike, who's been a busy man. He was hired in mid-October. And I introduced myself to you, and we talked briefly when you hired your soccer coach. Yesterday was a big day for the school. My daughter just graduated from GCU. She's a Lope, Lopes up and all that. Mike, appreciate you coming on board for a couple of minutes.
Well, thanks, Brad. Good morning. It's great to be with you.
How has your life changed since mid-October when you came on board at GCU till today?
Well, it's been a fast pace, but it's been great. GCU is such an incredible school. The leadership here with President Mueller and his team, they have a great vision, but they've also got an action plan with it. And a lot of organizations have the vision but no action, and we move at a fast pace here. I was telling somebody yesterday, I parked in a dirt parking lot, a parking garage, and had two offices since I got here the 1st of November. So the whole campus landscape, GCU is really changing by the day, and it's exciting.
Yeah, my daughter, when I moved her out when she graduated 3 weeks ago from GCU, a student stopped me and said, Mr. Sussmat, GCU means Grand Construction University, which I thought was pretty funny. I did laugh at that because I can say, yeah, I remember taking my daughter on the walk around campus, and the little gymnasium off to the side was all that there was. There was no big facility. There was no this and no that. So let's go there with the facilities end of things. You're moving forward on a lot of projects. Tell me where you're at on some of these and moving forward with buildings for your athletic department.
Well, it's exciting. You know, we have great facilities here. A lot of facilities are in great shape. Some are relatively new. We are just starting construction on a new soccer stadium. That'll be state-of-the-art, maybe one of the top three in the nation when it's completed this fall. It's going to be beautiful. It's right here in the heart of campus. And we feel like that we can, we've made a commitment to men's soccer, hiring Shel Steinman, the sixth winningest coach in NCAA history. So it's like hiring Coach K of soccer. He's a pretty popular guy, and he's been a postseason play 30 out of 31 seasons. He knows how to do it. And being the only Division I soccer team in the state of Arizona, we just thought, hey, we'll make this our fall sport and pack the stadium every week and really have a nice tailgate area and do some great things for our students. So that is under construction as we speak. We're also getting ready to break ground on a new office facility for athletics to get all of our coaches in one spot, and our compliance office and student academic support center will be new that will be under construction this fall. So there's a lot of good things going on from a facility standpoint. And as you know, we have a great basketball facility, and the atmosphere there that's been created with our students and our events team is second to none. So we're excited about basketball season rolling around and getting to use that new facility again.
Where are you at on golf? My understanding is you're going to have your own golf course. Have you broken ground over by Maryville, is it, that you're going to do?
That's right. We partnered with the city, and that golf course, we're going to have a ribbon cutting. Target date is October 15th, but it's a unique deal. It's a beautiful golf course. It's over 60 years old, and the trees are huge. The first time I walked around, it was like you don't feel like you're in Phoenix walking around with all these big trees, and it's beautiful. The layout's nice, and we have we're building a new clubhouse there. We'll have facilities for our men's and women's golf team located at that clubhouse. It'll still be open to the public. So our students here from our sports management program will actually help run the operation there. So they get hands-on training for what they're getting their degree to do. And it'll open in the fall, and it'll be a great practice. We'll have our own practice facility for our men's and women's golf team. Our coaches will have an office down there. We'll have a locker room. It's going to be a first-class setup. And we hope in the future maybe to be able to host an NCAA regional here, because the course is going to be great. If you drive by right now, a lot of the fairways are dirt. We're reconfiguring some of the holes. But it's a beautiful layout, and we're really excited about the opportunity to get good student-athletes in here to participate in our golf program. We feel like our golf programs can be a top 25 golf program nationally year in and year out once we get it built out.
Yeah, when I talked to President Mueller about it, he said, Brad, we may go pursue tournaments in the junior golf area. I mean, this could be a game changer within the Valley, which, as you know, there's over 90 golf courses within Maricopa County. I mean, I think it's a game changer on the business end of things.
Well, we did too, and you know, I'm new to the area. I've been out here a lot on vacation and stuff. I love the area, and I had somebody make a comment the other day that is in the golf world that knows the area, and they made the comment after they saw the layout and the drawings that this will probably be the nicest public course in the city. Well, there's some nice courses in the city.
Yeah, there are.
So we're really excited about that comment too, because we think it's really going to be special.
Mike Vaught with us, GCU Vice President of Athletics. I talked to Ray Anderson about this, and he said it's above him. Do you see a point where GCU and ASU can get schedules together? Because every coach I've talked to on both sides of the street on this one would like to see it happen. Do you sense that there is a thawing in that relationship that potentially it's above you? I think it's a Brian Crow thing. Do you sense that as well, that maybe there's some progress there?
Well, we would hope in the future. I think it would be good for the state, be good for the city.
Yep.
You know, I think in a lot of aspects of the landscape of college athletics today, we forget about the student athletes. And that's why we're here. We don't have a job if it's not for the student athletes. And, you know, economically, as far as travel, if we were to play, you know, NAU, Arizona State, when you just look at all the sports and just the travel costs,
yep.
I mean, it cuts down on costs for everybody. It's good for the state of Arizona. I don't know all the dynamics because I don't know all the history. I really enjoy Ray. He's a good guy. He's doing a great job at Arizona State. Todd Graham, the head football coach, is like a brother to me. Yeah. So we don't have football here, and I've told people we're Arizona State fans when it comes to football, and I'll be there to support my friend and his team. You know, and it's good when their football team wins for the city and the state. So, you know, and Rich Rodriguez at Arizona is a good friend of mine, the football coach. So we pull for those guys because it's good for the state of Arizona.
Right.
And we would like to have the same you know, feeling from those schools that, hey, it's good when we all win. And if we could compete against each other, that would be even better for the state and for our city. So down the road, we hope that happens, and we'd be excited to get to play those guys.
Yeah, just so you know, I'm over here pounding my fist every day on that one. I've been here 20 plus years, and it's like, come on, guys, really? The travel costs, as you said, it doesn't make sense to get on a plane to go play a three-game series in Kansas. It's rained out versus getting on a bus and going across town 20 minutes and playing a three-game series. And it's
absolutely.
It's in the best interest.
I agree with you 100%. You
know, it's talking with Mike Vaught, GCU Vice President of Athletics. Let's then focus in on basketball. You made a big announcement yesterday with Dan and with Andy, and Jerry made a big announcement too on the on Nike. But basketball, from where it was, I go back to when Russ Pennell was there and would go over and do features and stories and hang around and try to help him out around town, to where it is now. And it is night and day. And Dan has grown. The schedule has grown. I don't see any downside to where the program is. It's just getting through this whack sitting out period. And then I think once you do, you're going to be a national player, Mike.
Well, I think we've got a great opportunity to do that, and really Dan is a good leader. I like Dan a lot personally. I think he's got a great heart. He's got a heart for kids. You know, he's a tireless worker. He's maybe the most competitive guy I've ever been around.
Yep.
You definitely don't want to play him in horse right now. He can still shoot the thing. But we're excited about his leadership. You know, we feel like our basketball program is going in the right direction, and it takes time. I mean, it takes time to build it out and go through a few recruiting cycles to get kids in here that are the caliber of kids that we want, that we're going to have to compete at a national level, because that's our goal. I mean, we want to be an NCAA tournament team. I think we can do that in the near future, and I know that we're really excited after yesterday to give, and Dan deserved a new contract. He's done a good job. He's building the program. And there's a lot of positives in a lot of different areas. So we're really excited about the future with our basketball program.
Yeah, flip it over to Andy Stankiewicz. When the change was made down in Tucson earlier this week with a retirement there, I immediately had people texting me, calling me, have you heard Andy's name? And I did, that U of A had some interest. Now, you've got him locked up, and it's not just U of A. It was other people across the country. Scouts will tell me Andy Stankiewicz is a hot commodity, was a hot commodity. You had to take him off the market. Tell me about the baseball program and your coach there.
Well, you're exactly right. I really like Andy a lot. He's a first-class guy. He has a really good staff, and he knows how Division I baseball operates. And we actually talked about this deal a few weeks ago, so we were ahead of the game before all the jobs came open. I knew he would be a popular guy, and it's hard to find, you know, really good Division I baseball coaches to lead your program, and Andy's done a great job here. We're excited that he's here at GCU. You know, we're going to plan some facility improvements for him over the next couple of years to improve our baseball facility, which is already extremely nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look at the baseball aspect of it, it's a little different than basketball. I think Andy's got a chance to maybe be the first program we have to get in an NCAA tournament and win a game. Mm-hmm. Because baseball is a little different than basketball and some of the other sports. It's a really more level playing field. There's a lot of strategy plays into it, and I think Andy's really a good coach. So we're excited about the future of our baseball program, and I want to thank the fans that came out this year and the students, because we filled the stadium up quite a few times and had great crowds, and want to grow that next year for our student-athletes also.
Mike, before I let you go, I'm pretty certain that where things are with the WAC right now is where they are, but there's going to be other conferences that pursue you, or the WAC could split into different regions and all that. So I don't want to go into that. I get questions about it unless you feel like you need to address it. I'm more interested to hear from you about what is your biggest challenge moving forward. You've been here close to a year. You look at where GCU is athletically. What are you looking at saying, boy, we've got to get through this hurdle? Because every program has one of those.
You're right, and we're in a unique situation because we're just finishing year two of the four-year transition, and there's a lot involved in that transition plan to get every area of the athletic department up to Division I standard, and there's a lot of boxes we have to check. So, you know, anything you do, any company you run, any athletic department you're involved in, it's all about people. And we're having to build out some staffs to fully staff, for example, our compliance office,
sure.
our student-athlete support from academics, from the academic side. We've just put in place a life skills program. So there's a lot of things, being a Division I school, you have to have in place. And over the next 12 months, it's probably going to take us 12 months to get all those processes in place, all those departments in place, and get the people in to operate those departments that have Division I experience, that understand what we're wanting, and they basically come in with a playbook and put it in place, and we're off and running. So we're kind of on a two-year track here. 12 months from now, we'd like to have everything in place and then have everything up and running that last year. So when we are certified Division I, after two more years, that we've got all the bugs worked out, we're up and running, and we're ready to go like a well-oiled machine. And that's kind of the process we're going through right now.
And only because I'm getting all sorts of people sending me texts or instant messages right now, ask them about football. Football's not happening. Okay, football's not I'm speaking for GCU, unless you want to correct me and say never, Brad, but I'm getting hammered with that. Why haven't you asked them about football? Because it's not happening.
Or I get asked that. I get it asked all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's because I have a football background, and I was college football coach for 20 years, and I think that always comes up. People assumed I was hired to start a football program, but we're not going to add football here. We want to be like a Butler, like a VCU. We've got our focus where it needs to be. And honestly, the way the college landscape is right now, if you're not in one of the big five conferences as a football program, it's really tough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of restrictions. Financially, it's tough. The TV contracts are structured to make it more difficult, and it's trending more toward the big five conferences. So if you're a mid-major school with a football program, there's a lot of people really struggling right now. And that's when we decided to focus on men's soccer, where, like I said, we're in a unique situation. We're the only men's soccer team in the state, in Division I. We're building a first-class facility. And that's what we're going to hang our hat on in the fall, to have our tailgates, to have our students put their arms around an event and create a great atmosphere, because, you know, our soccer coach has been there and done that, and I think we can win a national championship in soccer in the near future.
Interesting stuff. Appreciate your time and insight, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Enjoyed visiting with you. Have
you
a great
well.
Day.
You as well. There's Mike Vaught, GCU Vice President of Athletics. All four of the universities here are in a very good space right now. People said, when did you start losing your hair? And I said, when Lisa Love came on board at ASU. It was a nightmare. Now she's gone, and the program is actually thriving. I look down at U of A and what's going on down there with Greg Byrne, and I see them as thriving. I see what Mike is doing. It's thriving. Up at NAU, Dr. Lisa Campos, they're thriving. Eric, is there any program in the state that you're really concerned about on the collegiate end right now?
Nope.
I mean, I'm looking around here. I don't see... In the next few years, I don't see any basketball coach that's in jeopardy. I don't see a football coach of the three that's in jeopardy.
Of leaving, but not because of what
leaving,
they
yeah,
did
I mean,
do,
they can leave.
But what they did do.
Sure.
Or will do.
Or what they, yeah. No, everything is, of the major programs, this may be as healthy a time as it's been within our state. Sports 360, AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt.